Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Black homeowners impacted by a long-standing FEMA requirement will now be able to receive aid after a disaster. The governmental agency is now making sweeping changes to a policy that disproportionately impacted Black homeowners in the South, who didn't have documentation like deeds to show proof of ownership. To understand this a little more, we're joined by Chauncia Willis, co-founder and chief executive officer of the Institute for Diversity and Inclusion and Emergency Management. And Chauncia joins us from Louisiana. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
You're there in Louisiana helping to assess the needs of people that have been impacted by this latest storm. How significant is this new change to the FEMA rule?
This is going to be very significant, and I'm hoping, I'm very hopeful that it will be a positive change for the hundreds of thousands of disaster survivors that have been impacted by this inequitable policy. And these groups of marginalized people who are disproportionately Black and brown have not received billions in disaster relief funding when they and their families have needed it most.
As I mentioned, you're in Louisiana assessing the needs of the people there. Do you feel these rules go far enough?
Well, you know, it's great to celebrate this significant step, but FEMA, Congress, and the Biden administration should make the policy retroactive.
Beyond Hurricane Ida.
Beyond Hurricane Ida. And it's sad that disaster survivors had to suffer the most negative impacts of this policy on top of their initial loss through numerous disasters and Hurricane Katrina, Sandy.
What are some of the impacts of not receiving emergency aid, especially considering that many of those living in coastal regions, as you mentioned, experience multiple weather disasters during a lifetime?
Wow, the impacts are tremendous. The data demonstrates that vulnerable groups recover at a slower pace because the assistance that's provided is not provided equitably. And so what you have is, for example, a requirement to, receive a denial letter from one organization in order to receive assistance from another. And it's disproportionately impacting those historically marginalized groups who don't have access to, you know, even something like the internet, a computer to apply for assistance, access to a phone that is fully charged to be able to stay on the phone for hours with the FEMA hotline. And so recovery is delayed through denial. And so you talk to the people that have been through storm after storm, and they say the same thing. I couldn't get assistance for that storm. I wasn't able to move, so we've been living here with a dilapidated roof, or we've been making do with this structure that looks like it's about to, fall down and fall on itself with people in it. They're in there living and hoping to make it day by day.
With all of that, you are really pushing for them to make this retroactive. As you said, we know that climate change makes weather disasters more likely, and that global temperatures have been predicted to continue to rise over the next few decades. What are some of the other equity gaps that remain in FEMA's disaster aid policies? What work still needs to be done?
We need all of the policies to take a more human-centered approach and less focus on metrics, less prioritization of immediate impact. Because when you change a policy that is inequitable and you do not invite those historically excluded groups to the table to provide perspective of those policies, what you have are policies that are not sustainable and do not have major impact in the long term.
Chauncia Willis is co-founder and chief executive officer of the Institute for Diversity and Inclusion in Emergency Management. Chauncia, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you.